Hello and welcome to Infamous, the audio podcast. This is Brandon or Mutilus on Discord.
This is Jeremy or just Jeremy on the Discord.
And this is Aaron. I go by Treffenwood on Discord.
Welcome back to another riveting episode. I'm sure Parker won't listen to this because he's not here. But if he were to listen to this, he would hear how nice I'm being. See, look at this. I'm not even going to give him a punishment for not being here. Partially because I didn't tell him we were doing this, but also if he gets mad, maybe we will punish him. But for right now, he's not getting punished for not being here.
The only reason I thought we were doing this is to punish him.
Oh, well, then I guess we can punish him.
Okay, good.
Otherwise, I'm out.
We could punish him by making him paint stuff. He hates that.
That's true. That would be something. We need to look into that. Like, getting him some actual punishments so some shit can get done, like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, dishes.
His punishments are just doing shit that needs to happen.
Yeah, like, when you, like, my kids, I'm like, I could punish you by making you sit in a corner, or I can punish you by making you do dishes and put away my laundry. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so productive. Alrighty, regular announcement stuff. Links are in the show notes. Other announcement, we're at Adepticon. If you're hearing this, we're at or traveling to Adepticon.
Adepticon, so, we are inside of you.
Yeah. If you're also at Adepticon, come say hi. We will be in the general area of the Marvel / Judgment area / Blood Bowl area. We usually identify ourselves with clothing in some way.
Clothing or people screaming and running away.
Yeah.
The one who's real,
that one.
The one who's real angry, that's Kenny. And he's not a part of this cast.
The one who's just fucking sweating mad is usually Kenny. I wanted to say earlier, I was listening to the end of your guys' cast. I was like, he's like, you're going to look tired. I was like, yeah, anger makes you tired.
Dude. He was so mad. The game he was winning yesterday. I'm like,
I know.
Dude, relax.
You have to understand, there's a lot on the line. If you lose to that list, that says something about who you are.
We put that out in the world as a litmus test.
Yeah. I love how right when like Kenny's deploying versus Aaron's garbage pile, he's like, how do you have this? That's really good. Well, I guess first, backing it up, he was like, I don't get it. What's the trick? He thinks there's some master strategy. He's like, what the fuck are you going to do with Clea? Like, what's she here for?
Give me her card.
He didn't realize. Yeah, he's like reading all of Aaron's cards. Like, what am I missing? And he's like, well, she's going to like teleport up Prime and all this. I was like, oh, no, that's a Mark IV. He's
dude,
like, oh,
so
oh, it's not Prime? He's like, no, it's just Mark IV. He told us that that Captain Marvel 2 was literally going to win the game. It's like, great. Let's see it.
Almost did.
Oh, it was pretty funny. All right. So currently playing, we'll just go over what events we're playing in at Adepticon. We already touched on mine. I am playing record games, and I am playing in the team tournament with Kenny. As long as Kenny does not make top cuts, spoiler alert, we will be playing in the team tournament.
Ouch.
I hope Kenny listens to this. I hope he listens to it while he's driving. He'll be fucking pissed.
Oh my god. I'm playing in pretty much everything. I'm playing in the Thursday big tournament, which I don't plan on making cuts, but I'll be playing Defenders. Those dudes are pretty cool, man. Every time I play them, I try something new. I get convinced to try something I didn't like or I just didn't understand, and I'm like, I'll try it. Amazing Spider-Man and Defenders is freaking sick, okay?
Mm-hmm. And, very good, Defenders.
Oh, he's sick. So I'm having a good time with that. And then I'll be playing in the team tournament. And playing with Ryan. We're going to throw some shit together and just fuck stuff up, man. That's what it's about. And then Saturday, we'll be doing some Judgment. Yeah.
Nice. Just real quick, I just want to say that the last time I played Defenders in a tournament, I played Strange and Daredevil as my two leaders.
Nice.
I lost every game as Daredevil was my leader, and won every game with Strange as my leader.
Was that back in 1983?
Nope, this was 4 months ago, I think, 3 months ago. Wow. It was right after the Defender buff, so right after Daredevil got adjusted.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't know if that's actually, like, you know, correlation versus causation, but
Yeah.
I'm very excited to play more Strange, and so I think I'm just going to play Defenders with Strange and just see if that gets any traction. But Aaron, what are you playing?
So on Thursday, I'll be playing in the Contest of Champions.
Nice.
Friday will either be Top Cuts Continuation or a team tournament with Quentin. Saturday is the 5v5 champion tournament for Judgment. And then Sunday is a one-day tournament of Blood Bowl.
Nice. What are you most excited to play in?
That's a trick question.
If you could only pick one.
Ooh, that's almost not fair.
I mean, excited for and favorite tournament is not the same thing. So what are you most excited for?
I want to say the Judgment 5v5.
I thought you were going to say that.
Only because I think I have a good expectation for what I will do and or how the games are going to play out in the Marvel tournament. I'm not saying I'm going to win it, but I'll take Hellfire, and over five rounds, I would probably expect to go 4-1. I would not be shocked to go 3-2. I wouldn't be shocked to go 5-0. Maybe a little bit shocked, because you got to be lucky to get there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've played those games, right? I kind of know how they're going to... There's not a whole lot of shock value to the game, if that kind of makes sense. Whereas with Judgment, it's still relatively new for me, so I have absolutely no idea what to expect. Am I going to go 0-5? Possibly. I'll definitely learn a lot playing Judgment. So I guess I'm most excited to that just because it's still a little newer, especially at the competitive level.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary. So speaking of tournaments, the thing I mostly wanted to talk about today is me and Kenny still need a list for our team format. Kenny is not super excited to build said list, so I figured we'd throw it in here and see what you guys think. So my initial thought is generally anytime we do a team tournament format where it's a team up and not like a three individual games, I really enjoy doing Convocation in that, because I think Convocation is one of the affiliations that really struggles to play at the current format. I think all of their tools are really strong and their strategy works. It's just that at the point totals that they are forced to play at, they're in kind of an in-between, where it's like if they're at a really low point total, like let's say 12 to 15, they actually do really well. But and then at high points, like you know, 18, 19 plus, they do really well as well. But in the like, you know, 17, 16, 18 range, they kind of struggle, is at least my experience with them, or the way I like to play them. So I usually lean into Convocation for that regard, because it gives me the opportunity to experience what I think the faction was designed to be, which is this really interesting elitist, like, tactical team of people that have really cool tools. But Kenny doesn't seem very excited to do that, and also I don't think we have everything painted, and I don't want to lump even more painting requirements on top of everybody right now. So... we have been leaning towards Kingpin Criminals with maybe a splash. So what do you guys think about criminals and teams? I know, Jeremy, you and I played against that at Warfare, and I thought it was really strong.
Yeah, for sure. What is the splash you're thinking? I mean, what does that mean?
He wants to do Hellfire Club because he's already working on Hellfire Club. And it's kind of just more of the same. I think doing a splash of Web Warriors is better, because you're basically combining the Kingpin leadership with the Stealers of Webs. I think that's mm-hmm. really, really strong.
Okay, so what's the core of this thing? What is your...
The core is all the obvious stuff. Like again, we haven't really built anything yet. It's just kind of theory. Mm-hmm. Let me find a spot to type all this stuff. So Kingpin, Black Cat, Rhino... Bullseye, Lizard, probably do Ulic, just because it's higher point totals, Wong, and this is kind of where it just starts becoming seasoned to taste, right? Mm. So I definitely want to put Gwen in, because I think Gwen having Lifesaver and Webline available is so strong when you're already combining it with them. I would also like to see Ant-Man. I know Aaron likes some Ant-Man.
I do.
Being able to put him anywhere on the table effectively on the first turn is really strong. So you at all times threaten every objective with your last activation. Not to mention he can just, you know, go do some crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be against either also taking like a Quicksilver who can threaten the turn one steal on midline.
Yeah, the only issue there is with the more people you have, the more precious cards become. And the fact you have to split the cards into two could make that problematic. But I agree. I really like that concept if you've got the card and the spot for it.
The good thing about criminals is they don't really eat up too many of your tactic slots.
Yep.
All right. Do you guys have any suggestions? I was also thinking maybe Blob. Blob's an interesting little brick you can put on a point that's kind of problematic for some lists to dislodge.
He is in Quentin and Mai's list, so yes.
Is there any spicy models that you're thinking? Maybe a Thanos or...
Thanos crossed my mind. So, again, they don't use chess clocks at Adepticon. And so, in my experience, people tend to play much slower in a team-up format. Because what tends to happen is it's two people versus two people in the same game. And they don't want to say anything on their opponent's turn, because they don't want to give away their plan or point out stuff their opponent might not have noticed yet. So everyone will stay really quiet on your opponent's turn. Then as soon as it goes to them to do something, now you have to info share and can make sure you're on the same page after every turn. It's like, okay, are you still happy to do what we were talking about doing earlier? You know, did you see anything new? I'm thinking this. Who do you want to go with? And it's like this back and forth, which is normally internal monologue that happens on your opponent's turn. So you're just adding all of that time to every activation. And then on top of that, you then have the points where you disagree and you actually have to talk about it. And so that on top of everything. And then there's the, you know, there's generally a lot of clunkiness of like, oh, well, do you want to move the model? Do I need to move the model? Where's your movement tool? You know, who's rolling the attack dice? It's just most people aren't practiced for that kind of stuff. So it just slows the whole process down because it's like too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing.
So Thanos is an incredible snag when it comes to that.
Yeah. And so on top of that, like planning for what Thanos can do throws a huge wrench into that. And then on top of it, Thanos and Kingpin are, in my opinion, are early game models because they are strongest at the early points of the game and can wear down over time by getting injured. And so, like, combining that together. And if you basically just say logically in your head, Thanos only costs 4 points in this game, because that's basically the format, is you get +4 points per game. Well, if you're just playing a normal Kingpin roster, but Thanos only costs 4, it's like, that seems crazy. And so I think Thanos is worth consideration. He also makes it really easy to get affiliated by absorbing a lot of your unaffiliated points into a single model.
Yep.
What's a big criminal that might be interesting? Ulick?
So I had Ulick on here. I like MODOK personally. He has board control and is hard to move on his own. He's also very hard to injure. And so he is a really good staying power piece that holds a back point extremely well. But he has 5 points. So I know he's considered Luke Cage. The cheap tanky people is always like the potatoes are really easy choices.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want interesting dynamic models that can move people.
What about Ultron 2?
Ultron 2 would be very interesting. I haven't thought about that. Ultron 2. Also Bill, obviously. All right, well, that puts us at 14 models exactly. Obviously, we would have to probably have some overlap. Is there anything else you guys can think of?
I mean, it's criminals. We've kind of played this game for a while. Criminals are just criminals, but you know.
The team-up format, I think, gives you some options to play stuff you would normally not consider.
Potentially.
Very much lean into the early game. Like, take models that are really strong at the beginning. So, who are models that have really strong
Wong and Ulick? Plays?
I have Wong and Ulick in here already.
Okay.
I would be at the point where I'd really consider advanced R&D on top of it, because you potentially could have Bill as well. And so if you advance R&D a power to Bill and Ulick,
mm-hmm. and one can also, crush, one can throw.
Yeah, actually you could do Bill, Ulick, and who was the other model I was thinking?
Like Miles can...
You could do Miles.
Walk, swing, throw.
MODOK. MODOK can also just double move and walk somebody with his bow.
Is MODOK a criminal?
He is. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so affiliated models, I've got Kingkin, Black Cat, Rhino, Ulic, MODOK. I think I'd like another criminal. Let me take a look here. Crossbones is a criminal if we just want potatoes. God, there's a lot of criminals. Taskmaster also. Although I know we don't have a painted Taskmaster, I imagine we could borrow one, but it's probably not worth the headache.
I'm bringing everybody, so you can do whatever.
Yeah.
Is there any new models that like just came out that would be good? How is new Killmonger?
I don't know. I haven't even really looked at the new Wakandans at all. Gotcha. Oh, yeah, Black Panther. Black Panther is great. Shuri's always worth consideration.
Did you say MODOK 2?
I don't think MODOK 2 is worth it. He is cheaper, but he doesn't have like the same tools. And he's really more of a later game model.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like throwing in the Steelers. So I'm thinking like Miles and Spider-Woman. And then maybe Peter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Peter 1, huh? You just can't help yourself. Yeah.
Well, I've played it. Like long mover with web line and impact webbing and spider senses in web or in Kingpin Criminals is strong. Mm-hmm. He also has a throw. Like he can potentially like board control like four people a turn. And then on top of that, he's a speed long. Like so he can get to the points. I really like him, but I don't know that he's the best 4-point option.
We know you love him.
I do love him. He's my boy. I mean, I honestly wouldn't even like Web Warriors if it wasn't for Peter 1. Peter 1 is my favorite Web Warrior. I think Gwen is probably the best Web Warrior. Well, Black Cat's the best Web Warrior, but counting models that should exist, Gwen is up there.
Shuri's pretty good, too.
Yeah, Shuri. The best Web Warrior. Shuri. Fucking hate Shuri. Okay, this seems like a good list. So I'm going to say the models that are definitely in. We've got Kingpin, Black Cat, Rhino, Bullseye is like the absolute core. Then we start looking at splash models. We've got Lizard and Wong in here already. I think Bill, you probably have to include Bill, even though I think, again, he's kind of more of a later game model. But he's definitely worth making that list. Pyro worth considering?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Tactus card and everything?
I wouldn't necessarily play that card. Just playing for Firewall.
Hmm.
There'll be a lot of big guys out there, right? Because so many points.
Yep.
You'll get used to them for sure.
What about Dynamo then?
Yep. But I think his value diminishes, actually. Because like he can only use his ability so many times in a turn. And the more models they have, they can just overpower his field disruption.
Sure, but I think at that point you're really focusing on I'm only going to use it on the important attacks as versus like people are just like rapid firing you and stuff.
Right.
But I was just thinking he's also just a tough 4-pointer that is hard to dislodge.
You're not wrong, Taken. I was just pointing out I think he is actually worse in this format than a normal. Yeah, but
at he's 24 he's not points, wrong. He's worse than he is at 17. I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. Compounding, but also like the missions I plan on playing, I don't expect that he'll see the table a lot because I don't plan on playing a bunch of D's.
Sure.
But, or sorry, E's.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I feel like we're just short on criminal models.
Really?
Over your crims again?
So we got Black Cat, Rhino, Kingpin, Bullseye, MODOK 1.
Seems to me that you have your base already, man. You don't have to do anything.
Sure, it's the base, but think about it. Like, what happens when you play at 24 points? Like, are you telling me I'm not playing 8 models at 24 points? Like,
you've got 5 solid crims there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't supplement it with a bad one, unless you want to add Taskmaster, who's super solid.
Taskmaster is the one I'm really leaning on, but okay. We don't have him painted, so we would have to borrow Jeremy's. Jeremy, are you already taking Taskmaster with you?
Yeah, I'm taking all my models.
Okay.
Because I don't know what Ryan has painted, so I'm just taking all mine.
Okay, so we'll go and put Taskmaster in there. That makes me feel better. So that way we can get to 9 models. That's going to happen just fine. All All right, I think Black Panther probably needs to be on this list. He's pretty nuts. I think Spider-Woman is my next up that I want after that, because she brings stealing and toughness.
I like Spider-Woman and Lizard.
Yeah, Lizard. Lizard and Wong are already on the short list.
Yeah.
So now I'm up to 10. I've got Kingpin, Black Cat, Rhino, Taskmaster, Bullseye. And then for unaffiliateds, I've got Lizard, Wong, Bill, Black Panther, and Spider-Woman.
I like it.
Okay, so four more slots. The models we were considering are Dynamo, Ulick, Gwen, Ant-Man, Blob, Thanos, MODOK, Ultron 2, Shuri, Miles, Peter.
Miles is my first one.
I'm going to look at Ultron 2's card. Five-pointers are rough with Kingpin. It's really hard to justify a five-pointer.
I think if they have a fully active people throw, I think you're still probably okay.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He has to do his four-cost spender to throw somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's still good, but he can't just, like, double move spend power. It has to be an action. And it's range 3, so it's not terrible. Oh, no, he does have a bow. I'm just being dumb. Yeah, he's got bow. Yeah, so I would just take him over MODOK 100%, because I don't need the affiliated model. Yeah, he brings more survivability and probably more damage over time. Yeah, I'll put him on the list. Okay, so that brings us to two more models. We've got a lot of expensive people. We've got Kingpin, Rhino, Bill, Black Panther, Spider-Woman are all fours. So should I put in Toad, do you think, for a semi-safe grab?
Yep.
And just have it wider base?
Yep.
All right, so that puts us at two twos and one... Two, four threes in the list. Because Miles, Black Cat, Taskmaster, Lizard. And I think Taskmaster's only in there if we need him. So I could put in Ant-Man for a fifth three. But four threes and two twos is probably enough for a wide base. What is that? That's
so you can just do role players now, like you might want.
16. 20. I'm trying to think. If I went for maximum wide at 24 points, what's the list look like? So you've got Kingpin, Cat, Taskmaster, Bullseye.
It's six threes, a two, and a four.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically eight threes. But that would mean I would need two more threes. That doesn't work.
Because you have four right now?
Yeah. So I would have to I could do two twos and two fours and end up being the equivalent.
Sure.
So I would get Kingpin, Rhino, Bullseye, Toad, Black Cat, Lizard.
You have to go Taskmaster.
Miles.
You have to get affiliated. You need five criminals.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
So I'm taking all five of my go-to criminals, and then I'm just putting in three other models that add up to 9 points. And so it's going to be Lizard. Oh, no, I already had Wong for 2-2, so I totally forgot we had Wong in here. Being stupid. Okay, then. Do I need Toad if I've already got two twos? Is three twos too many?
Not necessarily. What are your twos? Two different things.
Bullseye, Wong, and Toad.
I think if you're going to go, if you're playing criminals with the true intent of playing criminals like you want, I think three twos is just fine.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, you can really stretch. Like the game will be over super fast. Because basically all
I'm
doing
is I'm trading two threes for a two and a four, which I actually like my fours much better. So I think that makes sense. So I don't need to worry about taking threes. I was basically trying to decide if I should shoehorn Ant-Man in. Mm-hmm. So I do love Ant-Man, but I don't know that I need him. I think I'd rather have Toad and Black Panther than like Miles and Ant-Man.
That's fair.
And then I've got my two pointers for like little stuff and like backline things. And I've got my four pointers to put on the front line, which will be much harder to daze. All right. So we got one character slot left. Thanos?
Never wrong
for Thanos.
Yeah, if they play hammers, come on now, get it.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even consider that. So the only question then is, do I have enough anger to back up the threat of Thanos, like turn one plays? It's like, oh, you can't move to the middle. He's got Thanos. It's like, yeah, but what does he do if you actually grab him?
You have Black Cat, right?
I do have Black Cat.
That's probably enough.
Just to threaten stealing?
You threaten steal and threaten stagger. Like, you can auto win the game by putting pieces everywhere, move their shit, pull someone in, mm-hmm. stagger them. They can, like, I mean, I think that's scary enough.
Man. Yeah.
That's pretty
I'm
scary.
I'm just trying to basically talk myself out of Thanos.
I don't know that there's a better model, though. Even in Criminals, he's fucking crazy good.
Yeah. I really don't like Miles in here.
Why not?
I just feel like it's... I mean, he's a three-point stealer, right? So he's, like, worth it, arguably, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But my experience with Miles, which admittedly is not the best experience. I usually play him as a leader where you feel a bit safer with him. But I play... In my experience, he rarely gets to actually steal. Because he basically needs four power to steal. And needs to be within a, like, reasonably close range of somebody. So it's just, like, that never happens. It's like, my Miles never builds power without... Because he'll, like, swing in, do one. I'm like, great, I'm net minus one power this turn. Like, it just never happens.
You can also use him to pick something up, make them kill him, and then he kind of auto-steals it back. Like, make them daze him to get the power to then, again, undo all of that, regardless of your actual dice.
That's what I always see.
I'm just wondering if I would rather have Ant-Man in that slot.
You don't have to argue.
Where it's like... Because I think if I'm doing early grabs, I think by the time Miles activates, basically, all of the free objectives are already taken. And in that example, I'd rather have Ant-Man.
Okay.
Because my first grabs are going to be either Toad or Bill. And then probably after that, I'm activating somebody else, like Lizard, to go get one. So I'm going to put Ant-Man on, and then I'll see what Kenny thinks. And if Kenny wants Miles, we'll do Miles. Then I still like Gwen. I'd like to get Gwen in there, but it doesn't really fit with, I think, the list that we're going to end up building. If we were doing more of a big crunchy guys with small core behind it, I think I'd go with Gwen, which very well could end up happening.
Gwen also causes a lot of trouble for your opponent. Like, it eats their clock just because you have Gwen.
Yeah. But I think it's like Gwen or Thanos as a concept.
Yeah.
And so if it wasn't Thanos in, Gwen is 100% the next model. But with Thanos in, it's like, dual Gwen and Thanos, that's a lot of points out of affiliation. Do you need both? And without the Tactus card, she's harder to protect. I like this, though. This looks scary.
Rar.
Do what?
I said rar.
Rar. Scary. Cool. All right. Well, I'll put some finishing touches on this, and if we get it done before the episode goes up, which we probably will, I'll post the actual list in the show notes.
Cool.
Aaron, did you have anything else you want to chat about for today? I thought you said you had something.
No, I'm still in the morass of trying to decide exactly what I'm going to play in all of the various. Four events I'm playing in. So,
oh yeah, let's talk about your Blood Bowl thing. That's what I was remembering.
That's what you want to talk about?
Not fully remembering. Yeah, what teams are you considering?
So I've done my goal of playing all the teams in tournaments now, so I can play whatever I want. And I have two.
Did you go ahead. Have you ever talked about that on the podcast? I know we talked about your MCP stuff.
I think we did at one point.
Let's just summarize it real quick, just for people that don't know.
Okay, so there's an organization that tracks all of your Blood Bowl games throughout your career, if you will. That Nuffle Aim Oracle Football Association. And so it's kind of a big deal to play each of the various races in a sanctioned tournament, mainly because there aren't sanctioned tournaments left and right. So it takes some effort to get them done.
It's kind of like LVO qualifier slots. It's like, it's not just every weekend that there's one near you.
Yes, but it's not, you just have to play the race, though. You don't have to actually,
you don't have to win.
You could go 0-3, right? So I started about 4 years ago. So rather than getting good with one particular race, I was like, nope, we're just going to do a different race every tournament. Now I'm going to get it's called the NAF 29. It used to be 24, but GW keeps releasing new races, so it's up to 29 now, soon to be 30. So last December, I played in a tournament with which I played my 29th team and achieved my goal of playing them all. So that was last year and the previous 4 years of Blood Bowl for me. So now
all the silly stuff's out of the way, and now you can get back to hard-nosed grinding.
That's right. So So I have two choices for this. So I'm probably playing Necromantic Horror at the Blood Bowl World Cup in September. Or Euro Bowl, rather. I should probably practice some Necromantic Horror. On the other hand, that's a very specific build that this tournament does not allow. So I could either get better playing some version of Necromantic Horror, or I could try to find the competitive seam in the tournament packet and try to do the best I can with what I think will have the best chance of winning.
Well, outside of those two options, is there any teams that you just want to play?
Nope.
All right.
That's funny.
Brandon, have you met me?
Just no, I want so, to play. Explain,
I also,
please.
When I look at a tournament packet, it's like a quiz, right? It's like taking a test. And when you read through the document, you go, the question is, what is the answer to this problem? And so my brain goes, well, this is the answer to the problem. But also at the same time, I think there should be a little bit of like, yeah, but I want to play this. Like I take Brotherhood to stuff that I play non-competitive Brotherhood rosters because I think it's fun.
Sure. And I will do the same thing with Blood Bowl, but I will exclude a certain number of teams from the want to playlist based off of a packet.
Yeah.
And in general, I just do not like playing, for instance, stunty teams.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think is strong in this tournament packet? Or rather, is there any quirkiness about this packet that's different than normal?
So every tournament in Blood Bowl is different than every other tournament in Blood Bowl, which is one of the great reasons. Every tournament is brand new and fresh. It's not like Marvel where you just pick up your models and every tournament's the bog standard same. Yep. So this tournament has a host of special star players based off of famous Chicago football players.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
And you are encouraged, but not required. And by encouraged, I mean they are slightly overtuned. So if you would like to include some of those on your roster, you are probably going to have a better roster for doing so.
And everyone can take all of them?
Everyone can take all of them, correct. Okay. Any race can take any of them. You can take up to two of them. So,
all right, well, yeah, let's talk about those real quick. Like, what, just vague summaries. You don't need, please don't read their stats. Just like this guy is this, and he does this thing.
I think there's like 12 total. They've got a super thrower, a super catcher. And by super, I just mean slightly over two, not like godly broken.
Yeah.
Basically, anything, any positional that you could think you would want, they have a super fowler. Like, what if I want to go up and just...
kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly. All I want to do is put my boot in your ass.
Stab somebody at the bottom of a pile,
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so basically take whatever things you want.
There's a really good blitzer then, right? Is he good?
They've got one higher strength blitzer with the appropriate skills, and they've got one that's the normal strength with good skills. So various different permutations that are all good but not busted. So
Do they have Buckus?
Stand by.
They have to have Dick Buckus if it's a Chicago star player tournament.
Let's see. Dick Bent.
Yeah. Dick Bent. Okay. Is he one of the blitzers?
Block shadowing on the ball diving catch. Not really. He's kind of a catcher.
Okay.
Then you got Skevin Butler, Killy Galt, Spike Dingleberry, Slim McCam, which is the QB.
This game sounds ignorant as fuck.
DeFreezer, William Scary.
Oh, they have the fridge?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's a big strength four block, mighty blow, stand firm, grab. I mean, it's very thematic.
Oh, he's a big lineman?
Big lineman, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the quarterback so he can actually pick up the ball.
No.
He also comes with leader, which saves me 70,000 GPs of a skill.
Yeah. Is that the ham guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Slim McCam. And then I'm going to take the dirty player lineman because he's got kick, dirty player, sneaky get.
Well, it sounds like you've already made your decision.
So the problem is I can take both of these. What team do I want to put them on?
So you wouldn't consider taking a different roster or a different one based on your roster? Or those are just what you think are the two best players?
I think those are the two statistically best players. And there are people who will absolutely disagree with me. So I'm not saying that it's objectively correct, but subjectively. So for this year, I think he reduced the number of gold you have to build your roster, which makes it harder, which is good. Okay. Harder roster building. But for that reason, like the lineman with all of the dirty player skills is the lowest costing star player on that team.
Gotcha. So you don't want to over.
So being able, so I'm already running a bare bones build with half the teams I want to play to afford these two star players. So if I want better star players, it's just not going to happen.
Well, how about this? I think I've got a sales pitch for you. You ready?
I am ready.
All right. So because I'm an expert at Blood Bowl, everyone knows this about me. I've been playing since the game was created. I in fact created Blood Bowl. It was my brainchild. Anyway. If you're not going to play Necromantic Horror, which is a very specific build like you talked about, what if I told you that I think you should play a team that's probably the most similar to Necromantic Horrors, but different, and that would also synergize well with the two-star players you just mentioned?
I am listening.
You should play Norse, because they also have two werewolves. They've got a lot of positionals. Mm-hmm. They're very basic stat line guys. And they need somebody with sure hands and a dirty player.
You're not wrong.
Ooh, he admitted that I was right. Everyone heard it.
Yeah.
Brandon was right.
So the only problem I have with Norse is you get four skills to put on your players if you play Norse. And that's really not a lot.
You get four skills, you said? Is that because they're considered a high power team?
They are higher powered than Necromantic Horror, yes. So Necromantic Horror gets two extra skills, and they don't have a big guy that they need to spend a skill on.
Well, you don't have to take the Yeti.
Ooh.
I know, in fact, that you dislike big guys generally. You just like the Yeti because he's good.
Yes. Like, if you're going to play Norse, Yeti is a reason to play Norse.
My Yeti is named Snowflake. He is quite good. It's one of the few painted big guys I have, actually, is my Yeti. He's pretty awesome. He's actually made of an old Ogre Kingdoms Yeti, for an old metal one from back in the days, totally modified. He's pretty awesome. Anyway, but the whole point of Norse is that they come with skills. That's like the point of the team. And so you don't need as many skills because you guys already have skills.
You need at least four skills, two on the Ulfrunners and two on the Valkyries.
Yeah.
So I have a naked Yeti.
You don't need it. He's just going to beat ass anyway.
I mean, you're not wrong. I could absolutely play Norse with the
Yeti. I know this is like sacrilege, but you could just not have dodge on both of your Valkyries.
I need block on both my Valkyries.
They don't come with block?
No.
Oh my god, what did they do to my favorite team?
They never had.
I'm pretty sure they had block.
Valkyrie is one of the best players in the game. They had come with four
skills. They are one of the best players in the game. They didn't exist when I played Norse, was my point.
Yeah. Yeah, they made them better.
Yeah. They made them better, but they did take away their key skill. But they also gave them access to agility, which is sweet. Yeah. But I just thought it would be cool. Originally, I was going to say take two more blockers, then you have like two great or four great blitzers, because you would have the berserkers, which are amazing. And then you would also have whoever the fuck.
I actually have zero berserkers on that build.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know the Valkyries are better. The werewolves are also better. Or the Ulfwarners.
There's just not a 40k difference in value between a lineman with block and a berserker with block and jump up. If I can give the berserkers guard, that's great. But I don't have the skill slots to give them skills to justify the extra cost.
Man, I don't know. I think you're being a little net decky over here. You're just like, well, I can't play the atypical Norse build, so it's not worth it. Like, the internet says I have to play exactly these eight guys with these four skills, or else there's no point.
Pretty sure no one is posting builds on how to play Norse at Adepticon.
False. I am.
Okay.
You clearly don't read my blog.
Well, then I'm clearly not net decking, am I? Of them.
You're just not net decking me. You're net decking the wrong people.
So I had considered Norse and rejected them.
Oof. But now, with my arguments, you've reevaluated that situation.
They are on the probably not going to take, but they're not completely rejected.
It's not zero.
I'm leaning towards Tomb Kings, Orcs, Humans, Old World Alliance, and Necromantic Horror.
I assume, obviously, you already have your own painted Norse team. But if you'd like, you can borrow my Norse team. And the reason I say that is they're painted purple because they're the Norse Vikings, and you'd be playing them in Chicago against people playing Bears players, which anyone who knows about football knows that they're divisional rivals. And so it would be funny.
Are they, though?
I mean, they're not, but one of these teams has been good in the last 70 years.
I may not know anything about Blood Bowl, but I do know a little bit about the Bears football team. Oof.
But yeah, I think you should take Norse, or because if you're really just worried about practicing your obvious build for Necros, then it's fine. But I mean, obviously, you don't need that much practice. You've played Necros before.
I mean, if I want to practice Necro, I should just play Necro, even if it's not the same.
I know,
but so I'll get used to the actual position.
I'm just saying, like, because and I know this is like a little thing that some people that don't play Bubble probably don't get, but like, because it'd be like playing 20-point Black Order versus playing 16-point Black Order. Like, it's a different game because you have different tools.
Yeah.
And some teams are built around specific positions on their team being really strong. And if you don't have the resources to give them the skills they need, they aren't that strong. And so, like, that's the big difference, right? It's like not taking... It's like, yeah, I'm playing Thanos, but I didn't have the points for the stones. You're like, well, that's a different model. Like, it's not... You can't just put Thanos in without stones and say it's the same model. It's not. And so...
Correct.
That's what it feels like in Blood Bowl. It's like, you know, you just don't have Infinity Stones. You're like, oh, I kind of need those. But yeah. I think you should play Norse, but also I want to play Norse. So this will be my take.
You should sign up on the wait list.
How long is the wait list?
I don't know.
Actually, my thought was if you play Norse, I can video your games.
If I play Norse? If I don't play Norse, you can't?
I'm not going to record you playing dumbass Necros. That's fucking stupid. I don't want to see that. That's ignorant. Aaron, how many teams have werewolves?
Two.
Boom. Werewolves. How many teams have werewolves and yetis?
That would be one, sir.
Best team of the game.
I do like me some Norse. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been painting so much, my body is starting to hurt.
Like your feet?
Like, no, your whole body. My fucking shoulder and my back.
I just imagine when you said that, it's like the human diagram. It's like, you know, like we've highlighted the injured area. It's just his whole body is glowing red.
God damn.
It's like my body hurts. Being ignorant.
I'm like, wow. My, you know, it's like Homer, my boating arm. This is my painting arm. It's like getting all swole.
You could be like Morty with that big meaty arm.
Fuck. Pretty much.
You just like look at your arm. You're like, are we done painting? And it's like, no.
Oh, it's all throbbing.
All right, cool. All right, Aaron, you got to make a decision right now. What are you playing?
Doom Kings.
Norse. He said Norse. Everybody heard it. Oh, by the way, this is... yeah, we'll put this in the main episode. I was talking with Kenny last night. What year did you think that Blood of Heroes came out, Jeremy? 80s?
82.
What year? I need a year guess.
1982.
That's a fair guess. I guess 79.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, do you know what year it came out?
I do not know.
You don't? No. I need you to guess a year, please.
86.
Okay. The third digit in the year is a 9. Just 80, so you guys are aware, 89? That dog shit looking movie came out in the 90s.
Oh my god.
The same year as... Oh, I actually cold called it. I was like, I bet that came out the same year as Die Hard 2, and it did. It came out the same year as Die Hard 2. It's like, are you fucking shitting me? And Kenny said, wow, I thought this movie was just okay. This is the worst looking movie I've ever seen.
Wait, has Kenny actually seen the movie, or did you just show him like a 10-second trailer clip?
No, I didn't show him anything. He had already, because obviously all of the conversation about this shit movie has got him to go look it up.
But not watch it, yeah.
But not fucking watch it. Well, he saw the trailer, so he knew not to watch it. It's like, I also saw White Chick's trailer. I didn't watch that either. Like,
you know what, Brian? I don't know why anyone on the internet ever listens to your advice and thinks it's, like, there's anything more than... the inkling of a kernel of truth in it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I clearly am the best at talent evaluation because of all of my movie polls. I do have to watch it, though, because you did watch Battlestar. Wait, did you ever finish watching all the movies?
I watched Razor.
Okay. But did you watch The Plan?
I don't know.
Okay. The Plan is like a recap after the show. And it like basically covers all the stuff you've never got to see in the show.
I do not
believe it's like why certain things were happening and you didn't understand why. Anyway. But yeah, I do still have to watch it. But I was kind of waiting. I'm hoping that we were going to do like some MST3K stuff where like we live stream us watching a movie. So I was waiting for that. And the first one's going to be Blood of Heroes. And that way we'll just get to record my live reaction to watching the movie.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Well, you're not invited to that one. You can be on the other ones, because we don't need people defending the shit we're watching. That would be really awkward. He's like, it was good for its time. It's like, bitch, it came out, Lethal Weapon 3 was out. Like, what are we talking about? Like, anyway. Anyway, this has been Brandon. Hopefully you guys had a good time today.
It's been Jeremy. I'll be painting probably up to the second we get in the car.
And Aaron.
And you've just listened to The Gang Goes to the Con.
So what are we going to call this thing?
I got it. Okay. Incredible, new, fantastic, astonishing, mighty, original, uncanny, sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down Infamous.
We did it.
Oh my God, have we done it? What did we do?
I mean, this is a good case of whodunit, and it was us.
Oh my God, we did it. Shit.
Thanks for making time to get this out. For people that don't know at home, we are traveling to the Adepticons when this is supposed to be recorded. Mm-hmm. I figured audio recording physically in the car would be a bad idea. We've tried it before, actually. It's terrible.
Yeah, that probably doesn't work so hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one second. I'm gonna shut my door. My dog thinks I'm eating, so he wants in. I think this is, it's interesting because normally for Adepticon, there's like a last minute hobby push. But this is an entirely different last minute hobby push that we've all been having for the last 2 weeks.
Hobbying the fuck out of stuff.
Yeah. So anyone who's going to Adepticon for Judgment, which is probably a very small amount of the people listening to this, but give a thank you to Aaron and Jeremy for carving out painting time so close to the event for monsters and terrain.
I accept $1 bills, also $50 bills.
And $50 bills. But now them garbage-ass 20s.
Don't give me 20s. Those smell like, ugh.
Yeah.
Everybody's had those. So what are you playing in, Brandon?
Me?
What are you playing in at Adepticon? Anything?
Sorry, Jeremy, you're super quiet all of a sudden.
Adepticon, what are you playing in?
I am only currently registered for the team tournament for MCP.
That has never
Jeremy,
stopped
can
you.
Can you double check your microphone? I think you might be on your laptop mic still, even though you plugged in your headset. Just tap your mic with your hand. Yeah, you're on the microphone.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Just go.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I know what to do.
That doesn't. Leaving the channel doesn't fix it. Jeremy and technology. Yeah, you messaged me right as I was like, okay, something's clearly wrong. He sounded fine for a minute, but I think it was because he was looking at the computer.
Yeah.
Hello?
That sounds different. Okay. Oh. Did you keep recording Audacity the whole time?
Yes.
Okay, so I need you to Alt-Tab to Audacity and tell me which microphone Audacity is using, because that's actually the important one.
It's using this one, I believe, but let me check. Yeah, it's fine. SteelSeries.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, we're good.
It was probably fine the whole time, but we just couldn't hear you very well. Alrighty.
Yeah, when I unplug these when I'm painting and then listen, it just gets
exactly.
All screwed up, you know.
Yeah. And that's why I close all my programs when I plug my headset in, and then I reopen everything, and then I still double check the devices. It's kind of annoying. I wish I enjoyed using headset more often, but when there's nobody around, I really don't like using a headset. I prefer to just listen to my nice speakers. So.
Yeah, the headset bothers me a lot. I don't even wear a hat, like a baseball hat. Yeah. It irritates the shit out of me.
It's mostly that it just gets hot over time for me. Like if I wear the headset for like 6 hours, it's like, oh my God, like this is so uncomfortable.
So you were saying you're playing in
claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only thing I'm officially playing in is the Marvel team event with Kenny. But I've had a recent track record of not actually registering for events at Adepticon. I like going. It's just a good time in general.
I was going to say, don't sign up, but you end up managing to get into everything.
I do end up getting tickets somehow. I have a stack of Adepticon placards. Actually, I can grab them. They're just above my computer. One second. I don't know if you guys know these duders, but these are the recent people I've been at Adepticon. Is I've got Carl Jones and Colin Pritchard. So Carl Jones is a former War Machine player that used to live in Kansas City. He's since moved away. He was a good buddy of mine while he lived here, and we went to like all kinds of stuff together to play War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Colin is a Muse on Minis, Colin. Muse on Minis, Colin, and he couldn't make it 1 year, so they just gave me his badge, and I played in games as him. In my much poorer eating ramen days, I couldn't afford the ticket. So, in addition to the cost of the event. And so I would basically just find out who had to cancel last minute. Because I knew 150 people going to Adepticon, and almost always every year somebody had to cancel. So I was like, hey, give me your badge. And so they just tossed me their badge. I'd like save the, you know, $80 or whatever. Because we were all, money was already paid, so might as well give it to somebody.
Yeah. I always found it funny and also annoying because I paid for all of my tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how the fuck did you get in? You're just like running around with other people's badges. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, I just have a different person. I would only, if you notice, the only time I ever wear my name badge is when it's not my name. I guess good luck to our traveler friends that are going to Colorado today.
Who's going to Colorado?
The Vrendenbergs.
Oh, yeah, they are.
The guys. Yeah, apparently they're in the middle of an ice storm. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Nothing's better than driving up a mountain in a blizzard. Like, that's like the best.
Mm. No.
Wait. Yeah, what's the opposite of that? I would just like to go out and officially state, and I'm probably going to make some enemies here. I hate the city of Denver. It's a fucking terrible city.
Ouch. Could you please elaborate some more for our people who are just violently offended?
Absolutely, I'd love to. It's made of garbage and it's physical trash. Like, get rid of it. It's just an annoying like whole thing. And I get the appeal, right? Like, there's their weather is great. Honestly, like they have better weather than we do for sure. I would say the skiing thing. I get that whole aspect, but like, so my background is in primarily gaming and then a small amount of aviation stuff. And their airport is a shit show because it's on top of a mountain. It's just dumb. But then on top of that, every time I've gone to Denver, I've had a bad experience, with the one exception of we went to Caspanitas. That was pretty cool. So you guys have the best Caspanitas. Good job.
But are otherwise a flaming pile of trash and should be eradicated from the face of the earth. Got it.
Yeah. The first time I ever went to Denver was the same time we went to Caspanitas. We're driving in. And they have a loop, right? Every big city has a loop highway where it goes around their city, and it's kind of like a, you know, the way to get around. So we're going in, and it tells us to get on the loop. So we get on the loop, but apparently it was down for construction. There's not another car on the road. But there's also no signage saying that it's closed. And so, because we got on, nobody said anything, right? We just merge on because we came on an adjoining highway from out of town. We get on the loop. We drive on the loop for 45 minutes, zero fucking signage. And then randomly there's just a roadblock. And so we like come to a complete stop on the highway. Still haven't seen another car this whole time. And then we're like, and it's just like road closed. And we're like, how do you close a highway without having signs? There's no exit here. It's not like road closed, please exit. It's just road closed, no exit. And so we have to literally turn around and drive backwards on the highway for like 10 minutes to get to an exit. I was like, what the fuck? And so it just dumps us in the middle of downtown. We have no idea where we are. And all the fucking maps will tell us is to get back on the highway. Because it's the best way to get out of that area. Because you're in a mountain. Like, what the fuck? And so we were just trapped on the highway for 3 hours. We had to, like, backtrack all the way to the other highway and get off. It was fucking stupid. So that's dumb. Also, just everything else I've had experience about is terrible. And, you know, they've got the Denver Broncos, and fuck that.
I regret asking you.
Yeah, I know. The best decision Denver Broncos ever made, paying $80 million to Russell Wilson to leave. That's definitely the best decision they've ever made.
That was crazy.
That happened. We did get to watch old Horseface himself hand us the Super Bowl trophy. That was pretty cool.
He's like, I was holding this for you. I was keeping it.
You could just tell. Like, so actually, there's a pretty funny story about this. Do you know why he was the person giving away the trophy?
Uh-uh.
He volunteered to be the person to give away the Super Bowl trophy because his old coach, Mike Shanahan's son, Kyle Shanahan, was coaching the 49ers, and he thought the 49ers were going to win the Super Bowl like halfway through the year. So he offered to give it away. And as it kept getting closer and closer, because the Chiefs looked like they were out of it. And so the Chiefs claw their way to the Super Bowl, and you could just see he was like, God, please don't let this happen.
Wow.
And we beat his son's team for the second time, and he's just like, son of a bitch. And so the only thing he ever had, one of the big things the Broncos have had over the Chiefs for a long time is they had a back-to-back championship. So for our back-to-back championship, their former Hall of Fame quarterback had to hand the trophy to our new Hall of Fame quarterback. It was great.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
I'm telling you, dude, anyone from Denver is never going to talk to me.
You're not wrong.
I accept it. It's fair. I recognize him being an ass.
So how many Adepticons does this make?
For me?
Yeah.
The only one I missed, they didn't have because COVID, and that started in 2010. So this will be number 15. Yeah. Or 14 because of COVID.
Yeah, I said earlier that I think I was at 15 or so. I've been at a shitload of them. I've only missed one, and it was because I think it was like my kids were getting born or something.
Yeah. So like no real reason.
Yeah, and I mean nothing important. I mean they were born without me or with me, so whatever, yeah, right? They turned out
fine.
They
need you there, right? You didn't do anything.
I mean, yeah.
You're just kind of like hanging out.
Don't tell me what to do, how to be.
I'm going to be honest, sitting in a waiting room chair or being at Adepticon, I know what I'd rather do.
That's a fact. Mm. Seeing a tiny, blobby living thing that hates everything for the most. Yeah, it's a mess. Newborn babies are a mess, FYI.
Yeah, I bet. What do they do? They like dump strawberry jelly on them so that you can, like in movies and stuff, make them look semi-realistic.
Ugh. Just like this is weird. But I mean, I missed one, so that's okay, I guess. I'll mark it. I don't get to count that one, so.
You broke your consecutive streak.
I did. Do you, what would be the ranking of this one, of this con? Like, out of the, say, five major cons?
I think we should save that for later.
Oh, are we? Are we going to save that?
Yeah. I don't know if you heard what we were going to, we're going to do, our mojo world is going to be cons today.
Oh, well, that sucks. There's only so many.
Yeah, that's why it's going to be cutthroat.
God.
But you've been to cons that me and Aaron have not been to.
I have been to a lot. I have a pretty deep pool, but I will say I didn't like some of them.
Yeah. I think I've been to at least one or two cons you guys haven't been to. And then I'm sure Aaron's obviously been to stuff we haven't been to.
I don't have a big European meta for going.
Yeah.
I only went to one European large event. I couldn't even tell you what the name of it was.
You mean two?
WTC doesn't count?
Sure.
It's like I've only been to one. I can think of two you've been to. Damn it.
You're a goddamn
liar. One that you guys haven't thought of. It was a 40K. I think the equivalent of a major. Like, it was a big deal.
Okay, so you've been to three European cons.
Sure, we can call them cons. Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah.
What is the one after Adepticon?
Gen Con's pretty close to after.
Yeah, I don't plan on seeing like August. That one at all.
It's in like June, I think. It's a few months later. But I mean, in the schedule of everything, I don't know that there's anything that's really big right after.
Yeah.
Are you asking just in general what's after?
Yeah,
this
I was
year?
Just wondering. I couldn't remember.
I think Squad Goals is the next thing we're looking at going to.
Gotcha.
Which is April.
It should be May.
Is it?
That one's in May.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was in April. What's in April then?
Nothing.
I could do with a month of not bullshit.
Yeah.
I gotta paint something. Jesus.
I guess. So I know we're on a hard time limit. You guys want to go ahead and jump into the episode, and then if we end early, we'll just keep rambling.
Dude, yes. I'm whatever.
You up for whatever?
Yep.
DTF.
No. Not whatever. He said okay. He's into anything.
He said anything. Get out the monkey with the symbols. All right, here we go.
Dog shit.
When did this end?
Oh my god, my back.
Did your butt hurt?
No.
It's gonna.
My spine. Okay, you said these portals.
So Jeremy's.
Oh my god.
What?
You said these portals were going to be fine. They're not fine. Portals are.
What's not fine about it?
They're three-dimensional bullshit pieces. So you got to paint the front, the back, the inside. It's like fucking three models in one. I'm over it.
Are you a two-dimensional being?
Apparently.
I mean, you don't have to paint the inside of the top. Nobody's going to be able to see it.
Oh my god.
Just the sides.
Just the very front.
Just paint the sides.
That's the front. Don't look at it any other direction.
Alrighty. Don't turn it, because as you turn it, the paint starts disappearing.
Don't turn it. Whatever.
What was that Michael Keaton movie where they made cars and their company got bought out by
Gung
a
Ho.
Japanese car company? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, Gung Ho.
And then at the end of the movie, they like they're trying to meet their deadline, so they like push out a bunch of cars off the assembly line. And he goes to talk to his buddy that works at the car plant, and he's like, "Hey, just so you know, like if we're gonna make the 1,500 cars by tomorrow, we're gonna have to cut a couple corners." He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Oh, just like you know, like light bulbs, you know, trunk insulation." Engines. It's like, yeah, just get it done. He's like, okay. It's like they're pushing out car frames. Kept like body parts glued to them. It's like there's no engines, there's no windshields, there's no glass in the car at all.
Dude, Michael Keaton like, made no some amazing seats. Movies. Like
there's some great like 90s movies that people don't remember that he did. I love Michael Keaton.
Oh yeah.
Another great actor that people don't recognize is John Goodman. John Goodman's an amazing actor.
Oh, dude.
He gets typecast as like a TV comedy star, but he is an amazing actor. Pretty much everything he's in, I try to watch.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He's great. Is he in Blood of Heroes?
If he is, I'd watch it already. I would have already seen it.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So our Mojo World for this week is we're going to do conventions. This is not media. This is just our con experiences at different conventions. So we're going to draft our favorite gaming events to go to. Luckily, this week, I get to go first.
What the hell?
So I'm going to start us off. And I'm going to pick Adepticon.
You're a fucking whore.
Nope. I did it first.
I go first. I go first.
So, yeah, my first experience going to Adepticon, this will be funny. I was hoping Kenny would be here tonight, but his good, like, me and Kenny hadn't met until, like, roughly a year and a half ago. We had never met, and we didn't know about each other. But he lives in St. Joe, which is about an hour north of where we live. And I recently lived in St. Joe for a brief period. And this is, again, basically before I met Kenny. But we had a mutual good friend, goes by the name of Ryan. He also lives in St. Joe. And Ryan, I had met through 40K about 15 years ago. And we had been going back and forth. We were casual friends and played games with each other and stuff. But randomly, he was going to Adepticon in 2010, or they're preparing for the 2010 Adepticon. So it was 09. And he had two people bail off of his 40K team. They're going for, they're going to try and win best display at Adepticon, which.
Good luck.
Adepticon is hugely competitive for their like painting and dioramas and stuff. Like, it is widely considered the most, like, impressive diorama work in the world for, like, full army scale stuff at a tournament. And so they were trying to win best display as a team. in their team tournament. So he tapped me and my roommate Ben to be on their 40K team. And so for the next year, we prepared to be on the team. We were basically, me and Ben were the competitive players on the team, and Ryan and his friend Mike were the like hobbyists on the team. And so they were doing all the painting and modeling, and we were just like building the rosters and practicing and like showing them like what we were thinking for the models to use. And so anyway, we get up there, we go, and it's hugely fun. We did win best display. I've got the plaque on the wall still. And it was super, super fun. That was my first hour going to Adepticon. But like the pageantry of the whole thing, like the attitude of everybody there, everybody's just happy to be there. They want to talk to people. They want to show off their hobbies. It's super fun. It's unlike any other convention I've ever been to. Usually when you go to a convention, it's all about whatever the activity is. And that's why I go, but like Adepticon does a really good job of making it feel like a real big event. And just like everyone's just excited to be there. It's so great.
I agree.
Next up, we've got Aaron.
I'm going to take the WTC.
Which one?
The only one I've been to, MCP.
MCP WTC. Alrighty. Why don't you tell us why you like the MCP WTC?
It was just a super unique and awesome experience being able to go over to Denmark, meet people that you're never, granted it was their first, I didn't say never going to meet again, but probably a lot of the same people will travel to that same event, but meeting a lot of people for the first time, just being able to interact with a bunch of different cultures, speak a bunch of different languages, have different food. So half of it was the actual event, which was well run. Haven't played sideways on a table before. Hope to never do it again, but it was an awesome one-time experience.
Just curious, who initiated that sideways play?
Oh, that was me, 100%. Oh,
okay. Just making sure you remember, you know. I'm glad you ruined the game for you and your opponent.
I didn't want to be yet another stain on the road of victory for Pat. I wanted to be memorable to him for some reason or another.
He's never going to forget that.
He doesn't remember everyone he beats. He remembers that asshole that made him play sideways, though.
This fucking psycho from the U.S. that kept talking to his models and made me play sideways.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So, yeah. So, lots of memories like that. So, yeah. Anyway.
All right. Cool. Jeremy, you get two picks in a row.
Oh, my God. Two in a row, huh? This will be easy then. My favorite con, and I went every year that I could, has now changed its name, but at the time it was called TempleCon.
Yeah.
And that was in the Northeast. I think it's New England.
Rhode Island,
Rhode Island. And that one, basically you would go, it had all the games that you liked, whatever. But it would have 24-hour gaming, and it was a steampunk / like festival inside. And the hotel it was in was like a Gothic style hotel. It was completely surreal. So we're playing War Machine, and then behind the person who's playing on a stage is like people on stilts wearing leather and face masks, and Marilyn Manson is playing. It was completely nuts. And you'd been up all night because gaming was 24 hours there. They had tournaments that started at 10 p.m. and ended at 6 a.m. They had food that you'd go into the restaurants that were open all night, and it would be $5 for a meal. And it was cheap because the festival was going on. You lost track of days and time, and like it was completely nuts. That was the first time I believe I ever got into a finals like championship. Like I won my way through it was some sort of weird format War Machine tournament. I got to play in the Sunday event. But of the events, that one was one of my favorites and most memorable. My number two, and these aren't necessarily
just real quick.
Yeah.
I want to double what you just said. I have never had the fortune of getting to go to TempleCon, especially in the heyday of War Machine. I always wanted to go. The stories I've heard of TempleCon are absolutely off the rails. Like, it's some kind of weird steampunk, gothic, you know, like cosplay convention that has gaming at it. It's absolutely insane. And so I've always wanted to experience that, but I think I missed my opportunity.
Yeah, so that one, and again, all of these are great. So some of them have been stolen already, so I won't name those. I really had a great time at LVO 2 years ago. The first time that we went, and I had to play my way through the qualifier. I got in the main tournament. It was cool to be in Vegas. It was cool to do all that stuff and see everybody. I really enjoyed that LVO for those reasons, Las Vegas Open. And I'll be happy to go back to that one. I just had a great time because I played a million games and I was playing pretty well that year. So, yeah, that one was good.
Cool. Aaron, your second pick.
Blood Bowl World Cup. Technically not a con, but I'm going to include it. It's an actual, just a single event, but 2,500 or so individuals basically having what equates to a 3-day party, all doing the exact same thing, was surreal and amazing. To include like the kickoff event the night prior out on the pier with the entire proletariat, you know, singing the same We Love Blood Bowl song, listening to the refs, you know, give their spiel. Kind of the same thing with the you know, WTC, a bunch of different people, cultures, just an amazing and surreal experience. I can't wait to go back and do again.
Very cool. All right, my final two picks. I'm going to go with the War Machine WTC from back in the day. I got to go in 2017. It was, I don't know how to describe it other than it was like the War or the MCP WTC, but turned up to 11. It was, everyone was much more involved. It seemed like at the MCP WTC, it was kind of more casual and people were just kind of like hanging out. It was less like camaraderie building. Like the War Machine one, there was a lot of public meals and stuff that happened at scheduled times outside of the gaming. As where in MCP, it was kind of like lunch break. Go eat your lunch, guys. And it's like we were all eating in the same area, but we were eating. Then we got back to gaming. There was like meet and greet days at the War Machine one, where it was like scheduled that everybody shows up and we go do stuff. And it was just much more team oriented, I guess was the way I would call it. But it was like everyone was hanging out as a team, but also all as a group of all of the teams. And so it was just like one room full of 200 people all hanging out at the same time. And so it was just much more in depth. I don't know. It was just interesting. I think I probably had more fun at the MCP one, but there was definitely, it was just more involved for the War Machine. And so it was also a really good time. Unfortunately, the gaming was an absolute shit show in 2017. So super fucking broken shit running around. Like everyone brags about how like the power curve is supposed to be between like 45-55%. And it's like one single list had an 87% win rate at the most competitive tournament in the world. It's like, fuck this. Everybody knew the game was going to shit. And it was just like the last hurrah. Anyway, my next choice is going to be War Machine Weekend. This is a kind of survived by Warfare Weekend. It's I believe it's got different organizers now, but it's still got a lot of the same people at it. So if you want to see kind of what War Machine Weekend is like, Warfare Weekend is very, very, very similar. But War Machine Weekend was pretty much exclusively War Machine back in the day, and it was a lot smaller than it got to. And so it was very interesting. But having everyone at the convention all have a singular goal was really interesting because it was everyone, there was a War Machine player and they're all trying to compete at the invitational level, kind of like LVO is now. It's kind of similar to that. And so it was really interesting because you saw those people throughout the year trying to qualify at different events. And at the end of the year, everyone would show up. And so you got to see how everybody did throughout the year. And it was kind of fun to do that. Aaron, you got your final pick.
After this, we have a lot of events that I would kind of say are very similar. So I'm going to have to go back to the first ever con I attended, and that was War Games Con in Austin, Texas.
Ooh, I've heard of that. I think I've actually been to that.
Maybe you have. It was for War Machine, and that's what initially got me started on going to anything other than one-day events. So I had done a couple Blood Bowl one-day events, but this was the actual kind of con that I went to. Again, it's a local con. It's not a huge one, but did that, and that got me excited. I went to LVO for War Machine. Then I started traveling more for Blood Bowl. So it really kind of started me on the path, maybe the man I am today. So shout out to WarGamesCon.
For sure. AdeptCon was my first con, so that was
cheating.
Same vein. It was definitely one of the ones I was completely overwhelmed, right? Like I had no idea what the fuck was going on half the weekend. It was definitely a big jump from nothing.
Yeah.
My first small con was a DICON back in the day, which was in St. Louis as well, I believe.
It is.
And I think it has since folded. I don't know if it still goes.
It has folded into Warfare.
Oh, okay. There you go.
They folded into that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that St. Louis stuff kind of got lumped into Warfare. Jeremy, you got your final pick.
Man, there's just so many. So what was the con called that was at Lee Summit High School?
As Recruits.
Recruits. So I'm going to say Recruits, and here's why. I moved here. I mean, I've been playing, tabletop games for a very long time. I was a press ganger for Privateer Press and for War Machine, and I came here basically full bore on War Machine, and I'm going to play it, and, like, where can I play it? What's going on? So I found out about Recruits, and I'm like, cool, where's that at? What are we doing? And then they're like, well, nobody has signed up to do it. And I had just moved here. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, I can run it, but do we have anything to run it with? Bob Nolan can give you some stuff and help you run it or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know who this is. So I ended up putting together using tarps and markers and tape and fucking hosting this tournament in a town I didn't know anything about. And everyone showed up, and we had a great time. Then later on, several years later after running it, like, we ended up turning it into a humongous qualifier. But, like, I think if I had not shown up to run events, I don't think War Machine would have been at Recruits that year, or probably ever again, being that once you drop the ball on something, it'd be gone. So I kind of feel pretty good about that one, just because of those reasons. And it was always local, and it was fun to see people coming from out of town, and it turned it into a qualifier. So that one's kind of personal for me. I like that one.
Yeah, Recruits was definitely a fun time. It's organized by a high school in Lee Summit, like he was saying, and it's basically put on to teach kids about, like, hobby gaming and stuff while they're still in high school. And it gets a lot of newer people into gaming in our area. It is a much beloved con for a long time. I believe the person who originally started it has since retired. And so there's some new people. We're trying to keep it going. I don't know if it is still going. I know it used to be a twice a year thing. I think it's down to one now. And it might be, this might have been the last year for it, because I don't think the new people are just have the passion for it like the one guy did.
Yeah, I think it's done. So shout out.
Yeah, these are all great events. Everyone would have enjoyed going to these, in my opinion. Like, these are all great ways to experience the game at different levels too, because, like, Recruits is a little hole in the wall thing that usually has like 100 people at it over an entire weekend, and but it's a lot about, like, giving demos and stuff, and more less so than about, like, being competitive, and then ramping all the way up to, like, world team championship kind of stuff. I think Adepticon is the most all-encompassing wargaming convention that there is in the world, and I think everyone should experience that at some point. It's kind of like Gen Con is, where it's like, if you're into, like, pop culture gaming stuff in general, Gen Con is usually a bucket list item for a lot of people. And it's not for everyone, but it is something that you should probably experience. It is, unfortunately, very expensive because it's such a demand. Adepticon is far cheaper to go to and is much more all-encompassing for miniatures gaming. They don't really do anything outside of miniatures gaming. There's a little bit of board game stuff, but nothing big. It's mostly just, like, recreational hangout time. But yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, I would highly recommend Adepticon, but and all this other stuff, season to taste based on what you like about gaming.
Yep.
But cool. Alrighty. Well, that's pretty much all I had. I think Jeremy is probably about ready to get out of here because I think he's got a time limit.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed. We'll see you after Adepticon.
See you at Adepticon.
Bye.
Peace.